This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. 45-year-old Mohammed Salomon faces dozens of charges in the Boulder, Colorado firebomb attacks that left 12 people injured, including two who are still in critical condition. ABC's Mola Lenghi is in Boulder with more on who Salomon is.
He was born in Egypt and lived in Kuwait for 17 years before moving to Colorado Springs 3 years ago with his wife and five kids. According to authorities, he confessed he had been planning the attack for a year and was waiting until after his daughter graduated. Now, the FBI processing evidence seized from his home.
Law enforcement in New Orleans working to verify that video of Antoine Massey, if it's actually him. Massey's one of two escaped inmates still on the run from New Orleans. He claims that video was unjustly jailed and that he didn't break out of jail. He was let out. Convicted killer Grant Hardin's also still on the run. Police say he donned a makeshift guard's uniform and walked out of an Arkansas prison 9 days ago. Police think he's hiding in the Ozarks. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. With the Black Hawk Bridge that connects Wisconsin to Iowa closed indefinitely, DOT officials in Iowa and Wisconsin announced free water taxi services will begin on June 4th. Otherwise, people can cross the Mississippi River at La Crosse or Prairie du Chien. The 94-year-old bridge was closed on May 17th after a pier moved. Last year, the bridge was closed for nearly 2 months for emergency repairs. The DOT said it hasn't finalized any repair or reopening plans for the old bridge. A replacement bridge is scheduled to open in 2020. A proposed fee increase could affect La Crosse property owners later this year. The Stormwater Utility is proposing an increase of nearly $10 per month on an average bill to help pay for operating costs and capital projects. A second proposal would then add a 22% fee increase for January 1st and annual 3% increases to account for inflation for the 3 years after that. The proposals passed the Board of Public Works Monday. If they pass the Finance and Personnel Committee Thursday, they would then go to the full Common Council next week. Gas prices fell this week locally and across Wisconsin, with more. Here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Gas prices fell 7.1 cents over the last week for an average of $2.96 today. This is 1.5 cents higher than a month ago and over 36 cents lower than this time last year. Officials at Gas Buddy say while the rest of the nation has seen a gentle descent in prices, the Great Lakes region has seen notable declines after a minor refinery issue was resolved.
Here in La Crosse, the average price for gas has stayed just under the statewide average, currently sitting at about $2.96 per gallon. If you had outdoor activities planned today, you may need to consider other plans. In addition to expected rain showers that will bring a half inch to an inch of rain across the Cooley region before midnight, air quality is a concern all day due to smoke from Canadian wildfires. Once the rain clears out overnight, we'll be back to sunny skies and highs in the mid-70s Wednesday. There are chances of scattered showers and storms through the weekend, but highs will stay in the 70s for the next several days. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Brewer baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers and the Reds at Great American Ballpark for game two of a three-game series. Milwaukee winning their eighth in a row last night, 3-2 over the Reds with help from the bullpen. Rob Zastrzynski, Abner Uribe, and Trevor McGill. Pat Murphy says he needs a good performance from Freddie Peralta tonight to give that bullpen some rest like last week against Boston.
The Priester DL Hall game plus the off day gave us a little bit of a blow. Now here we are again with those three guys going back-to-back, which puts us in a bind, but, you know, they've come through.
NFL Packers OTAs continue. In Madison, former running back James White, who won three Super Bowls with the Patriots, was back in Madison over the weekend, named as an inductee into the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame.
You know, being around some of the guys that, you know, some of my former teammates, Travis Frederick, Melvin was here, and, you know, he kind of brings back those memories. Yeah, it's definitely cool to be back here.
That's former Badger James White with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely today and some locally heavy rain possible. We could get a quarter inch or more by the time everything winds down this evening. High today, 74. Tonight, clearing 53. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to healthcare, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we'll take a look at what's happening in the state budget, your phone calls on that, and what's worse. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Eagle 1490 AM.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It's 8:06 now. Nice to have you here on this Tuesday morning, June 3rd. Parker Olson is in Madison Studio A2, and Chad Holmes joins us now from 98.9 WXCO. I only learned the other day what A2 is, and that the studio in Racine, oh, I don't even have it now. The studio in Racine is like N2. Yeah, is where there's one there. What's your letter? What's the Wausau letter for stations? What studio are you from?
That's a project I'll have to go on, because I think we need more people here, because since it's me and Ian across the way, we kind of know where we are, so we don't have labels that we need to do anything. That you guys have the bustling studios.
I don't see now. Again, he's got A1 in Madison, A2, the one in Racine is N, and I said, well, what's the Lake Wissota studio? And they're like, you don't get one. I don't get a letter or a designation. I'm an island out here on Lake Wissota.
I tell you, it's funny, both on Saturday and then yesterday, I had trips. On Saturday, I took a little fun little trip to the Twin Cities area, mm-hmm. and then yesterday at a ball game, and I had to go past, you know, the signs for Lake Wissota.
Oh, sure.
And there was this one on one, I think it was on my way back both times. There must be some construction going on. And one of the roads, it says Lake Wissota. And then right under it says closed.
Uh-oh.
First thought is Kreitlow is making it a closed community. He doesn't want anybody hanging out.
No, it's those Trump budget cuts. We have to close the lake. You know, we can't have nice things right now. Folks listening for the updated forecast, meteorologist Brittany Merlot is out today. Hopefully you have her back tomorrow, but it's not tough to see what we're going to be facing throughout a big chunk of Wisconsin today as a cold front comes through with some showers, thunderstorms. They might be strong to severe later on. And the other weird thing, Chad, is that you're thinking, oh, the rain's going to come through and we won't have any of that Canadian wildfire smoke. No, that front is actually just ushering in more of it. It's helping it into the state. And so I literally just saw a National Weather Service update that said today, smoky rain. That's a first for me.
Well, apparently at least there's one National Weather Service operator that has full-time meteorologist,
yes.
Don and Elon.
Now, I did just see a headline someplace that said that
they're hiring some new ones.
They're hiring some folks, and I had the story earlier from the Journal Sentinel about how a popular librarian for the Bad River Public Tribal Library has been reinstated, again, through court order, of course. And so it really does set up what I think a lot of us saw coming early on, is that Trump was going to try to make a bunch of these cuts. Obviously, he can't legally. So courts would say, no, that would be breaking the law. You can't do that. And so he can now go back to his MAGA constituency and say, hey, you know, I tried, but the deep state wouldn't let me. No, the law wouldn't let you. You can do all kinds of things as a president. you just have to follow the law to do it. I don't think that's asking too much.
Well, also, it helps if you have some competency around you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's. I think so much of it has to do with, hey, if you have a game plan to, again, I mean, the idea that you go around trying to look into areas that could perhaps be a little bit more tight. I'm not saying that that's not possible, but you put a bunch of incompetence into these positions. This is what happens. And then all of a sudden you come out with this grandiose, statements and about how much you're going to be saving and you don't find it. Then all of a sudden the lies start coming and it's a vicious circle. And I think number one, the incompetence was a major factor in all this. And number two, again, don't come out and make, well, we're going to find this number. Hey, you're going to find whatever you find. And I think sometimes you put yourself into a corner and it just makes things worse than if you would have said, hey, I'm going to go in there and see what's going on. And hopefully we'll be able to find some significant savings and the like. But when you come in and say, hey, there's all this waste, fraud and abuse, and there's all this area that we're going to find. Well, number one, you're not going to, when you don't find it, it makes you look bad. And number two, where's all the prosecutions for this waste, fraud and abuse? It's funny that
you say that. That's exactly what I said yesterday. And then we posted that, and I was calling out Congressman Derek Van Orden for saying there's waste, fraud, and abuse, and yet, like, okay, show us where it is. And so he went into the Civic Media, social media site. I don't remember if it was Facebook or something else.
Oh, man, that guy just has no time.
Nothing but time on his hands, and he put something in there like, kick rocks, you lying sack, or something like that. That's not a response. The response is, you're saying that there is fraud, okay? Waste, fraud, and abuse. Set aside waste because it's in the eye of the beholder. What somebody thinks is waste, somebody else doesn't. But fraud is the big thing. If somebody is actually defrauding us, the taxpayers, and we say, prove it, the congressman's response shouldn't be, kick rocks, you lying sack. It should be, yep, here it is. And the fact of the matter is, here it ain't. And you can't. You can't point to, say, one or two relatively small things and say, you see where there's this? There must be 100 others. Not necessarily. Show us. That's not too much to ask, Chad.
Doggone it, with Derek Van Orden, can't we get a little bit of class once in a while? I mean,
No. I was looking at his posts, and language alert here, folks. I'm not going to say bad words, but I'm going to tiptoe up to the line to one particular post. This is the post, the response from a member of Congress, from Derek Van Orden. His response to a particular post, and this is it literally, is F no, kick rocks, you worthless backstabbing jackass. That is an actual post from a member of Congress from the great state of Wisconsin. And that is not atypical of Derek Van Orden's social media presence. Somebody needs to wrestle the password out of his hands.
Well, I mean, frankly, it comes down to, again, at the top of their party, you have a man who does exactly the same thing. It starts right there at the top with the president of the United States, and you go to Derek Van Orden and others. What happened to the old, I guess I'm old enough, I'm sure you're old enough to remember when Republicans would talk about how they were the party of adults, that they were these hippies over on the left. And now they just act like, spoiled children all the time. And I talk about a lot about the power of the battle of ideas. I have no issue if somebody has conservative points of view, whether it's on economics or even social issues. We have the argument in a way where you have a battle of ideas. Nowadays, it's just, with Van Orden and Trump and others, it's about like you said, it was a great example. You pointed out a flaw in what they were saying and doing over the last 4+ months. And instead of responding and saying, hey, I have a response that would maybe answer your questions, instead it's an insult.
It's insult. And
where do you go from there? I mean, it drags us into the swamp of these kind of arguments, because as much as we try, sometimes you'll come back and I try not to do that myself, but it's very difficult to have a conversation about important issues. And that's an important issue when that's, how do you respond to that? It's ridiculous.
You can't really.
And then it's like you're arguing against yourself, because this guy is just just, you know, I could use a term like box of rocks, but that would be into his.
Again, I just want to hear the ideas, and I'm not. All I see out of him are either insults or photo ops. And he's really good at the photo ops because I'm sorry, TV stations, newspaper station, or newspapers in the 3rd Congressional District, please hear me again. He's a master of the photo op. I saw last week again, Congressman Van Orden tours this, Congressman Van Orden tours that. And the few times that he's ever asked a tough question on these tours, he then belittles the reporter and does not answer the question, to which I would say to the TV stations and others, don't put the story up then. Don't just do the field trip. The congressman went on a field trip. If there's no substance involved, then all you're doing, you're his press person at that point. Don't be his publicist. That's all I ask of the newspapers and the TV stations in and around the 3rd District.
Unfortunately, it's a trickle down from what we see nationally as well.
Yes, it is. Yep.
A guy says that's a nasty question. I mean, come on.
Just answer the question then. You mentioned being on the road. You were in Menominee last night for a Wausau West playoff baseball. How did that go? How are things looking for spring sports?
It was fun, and I just, you know, and we talk about these things that get you all riled up and stuff, and it was such a fun experience because it was like different, because I'm in the booth, I'm sitting right to the right of the PA announcer, who happened to be a student at Menominee, who also happened to be, along with her twin brother who was hanging out there, siblings of the pitcher for Menominee. And this pitcher for Menominee had a perfect game going through six innings and a no-hitter with one out to go in the seventh. And, of course, high school games are seven innings.
Oh, my.
And I'm throwing everything at the wall because there's the old adage where you're not supposed to be talking about the perfect games and the no-hitters. And I'm talking about it all the time, and she's getting a little upset with me because she's saying, you're trying to jinx my brother. I said, darn right. I've been trying to jinx your brother for 5 years here, and it's not working. And then with two outs in the seventh inning, it was 2-0 Menominee. West got back-to-back hits and scored two runs in the inning ends. And I turned to her. I said, I feel really bad now.
You should.
But it was such. But it was really cool to see a young person like that who was. I mean, she was so. I mean, so often you get around these people that kind of bring you down. Mm-hmm. This girl had so much energy and so much passion and the positivity, it just rubbed off, I think, on everybody around there. And it's like, and sometimes you think about, and I was thinking about this on the drive home, and we transferring it to somebody like Donald Trump and Derek Van Orden and Ron Johnson likes. We could have leaders that bring the positive energy to our discussions. We could. Yes. And unfortunately now it's all based. And again, there's going to be times when we have discussions that bring in negative aspects. It's just the way it is, even if you're a positive person. But we start now with the negative. We start there with all these discussions. And it just felt really good to be around this positivity in this environment. And I'm trying to put together in some way to be able to bring some of that to other aspects of life, because I don't know how guys like Van Orden and Johnson and the like can look at themselves in the mirror, where Ron Johnson's, you know, big projects these days is to try to investigate a guy that may have terminal cancer. I don't get that. I don't understand how, as a human being, that's your first thought. I can make political points on a guy who's got terminal cancer. I don't get that. I don't understand that. And I think we need to have a whole different perspective on how we have these battle of ideas, where actually bring the ideas back instead of the political points.
Yeah, but you're dealing with somebody who said, I don't know of any poor person that created a job. Said Ron Johnson last week. So, all right,
there goes my positivity.
let's end on a positive note. The Brewers' winning streak is up to 8 games after beating the Reds yesterday, coming from behind. Christian Yelich with another home run. Christian Yelich, he's back. No pun intended. Or it's just a matter of time. Come on, and I'm not putting you on the spot. I'm just saying these are the things that, you know, we worry about as fans. Like, okay, we're doing great. No injuries, because the pitching staff is finally, but will it last?
Well, I mean, I think for whatever reason, they just have the secret recipe when it comes to maximizing everything they have, whether it's pitching, whether it is their everyday lineup, whether it's, you know, what Pat Murphy does, whether what the what Arnold does in the front office. It just feels like they're able to maximize.
They are. Chad Holmes, thank you so much. 98.9 WXCO. We'll talk to you Thursday morning.
Sounds good.
Dan Schaefer still on the way. You're up north.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with IZERVAY, you can
slow it down.
IZERVAY slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. IZERVAY, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Quick reminder that Up North News is part of Courier, a pro-democracy newsroom. You can go to couriernewsroom.com to read news from all of our various state outlets and get links to podcasts, merchandise, videos, other newsletters as well. Mark Jacob, who normally joins us on Fridays, has a newsletter called Stop the Presses. You can get it directly at stopthepresses.news, but you can also get it at couriernewsroom.com. His column this week is called What Do You Call a Blatant Lie? We should call it a Lutnick, named after Trump's commerce secretary who showered us with snake oil recently. So head over to couriernewsroom.com to learn more about that. On the Up North News social media feeds and on our website, this headline, America's clearest beach. It's not Waikiki, it's Wisconsin. When you think of pristine beaches with some of the clearest water on earth, the number one pick in the country is Wisconsin's own Schoolhouse Beach on Washington Island. So learn much more about that. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com or look for the link on our Facebook page as well. I wanted to share an article in this segment in The Bulwark, which is a conservative subscription news service that was started by, I guess, what are they called? Never Trump Republicans, Charlie Sykes, and folks like that. And a column from Jonathan Cohn. The headline is, they are, in fact, coming after Obamacare again. And it reads, 8 years after trying and failing to repeal Obamacare, Donald Trump and Republicans are taking another shot. This time, their plans are less ambitious and their work has garnered less attention, But if successful, the efforts could still have devastating effects. It's buried in the quote-unquote big, beautiful bill that the House sent over to the Senate for consideration. There's been a lot of focus, of course, on all the cuts to Medicaid and more. But the legislation would also take a few hundred billion dollars out of the Affordable Care Act. And up to 4 million people could end up newly uninsured. In much the same way that all of this talk about a changing climate and the Trump administration is rolling back all these environmental rules as if we have somehow forgotten smog and all of the other parts of pollution from 50 years ago. Similarly, it seems like we have a national case of amnesia among many Americans as to the crisis that was facing healthcare before the Affordable Care Act, when it was so easy for people to be denied health insurance coverage. The ACA changed that. It's not a perfect bill, but Republicans would never work with Democrats to try to make it better. Instead, they've tried to scrap it entirely. So returning to the column here from Jonathan Cohn, he says the big, beautiful bill does things like rewrite the rules for passive enrollment and provisional eligibility and alter the allowable variation for calculating actuarial value. That's just all kinds of jargon for death by a thousand paper cuts or death by a thousand literal cuts, cutting people off from their health insurance. Because, well, here's one example. Right now, when you have a very big life event that happens, a divorce, the death of a spouse, other kinds of life-altering events, it allows people who might be newly uninsured to get insurance even if you're outside the normal open enrollment period. When that happens, the marketplace will attempt to verify income, citizenship status, and other things. And if it all checks out, you can continue to get affordable insurance. Essentially, there's a 90-day grace period during these times, but the Republican bill would effectively end the grace period. So anybody whose data didn't match up immediately would have to pay the full premium until they work through all the discrepancies. So imagine, that day a spouse dies, or you get a spouse, you get married and you change your name, or you lose your job. And somehow Republican politicians believe that day you need to notify all the right people and all the right government offices and it'll all be processed same day. Otherwise, with no grace period, you become uninsured or you no longer have eligibility for premium credits that keep your health insurance affordable. That's just one of the provisions. There's also the shortening of the annual open enrollment period from 2.5 months currently down to 1.5 months. And another provision that would end automatic re-enrollment at the end of the year and require people to reestablish their eligibility for coverage for financial assistance. The column quotes Kristen Link Young, a visiting fellow at the Brookings Institution, who says, "This doesn't happen anywhere else in the healthcare system. Everybody else has automatic re-enrollment for their insurance, and yet here they're adding this mandatory annual process and a bunch of additional paperwork that's going to snare other people." And of course, they know what's going to happen. What happens then is that people throw up their hands and they walk away, and they no longer have affordable insurance coverage. And what do the Tom Tiffany's and the Derek Van Ordens and others say about that? Well, we didn't cut their coverage. They chose not to re-enroll. They chose not to adhere to the requirements. It's not our fault that we made the requirements nearly impossible to go along with. It's the same stuff that we said last week about work requirements for Medicaid. And that by, again, tightening those restrictions, making the barriers higher, they're able to say, well, we didn't cut the benefits. These are folks that just couldn't prove that they deserve the benefits. And that's some of the waste, fraud, and abuse that we're rooting out. Like getting rid of the automatic re-enrollment. Do you know how many things we have automatic re-enrollment for? How many newspaper subscriptions and credit card offers and all kinds of things that we don't need anymore? Maybe the Republicans could take a page from the Biden administration and look out for consumers and try to cancel some of those automatic re-enrollments before they go canceling automatic re-enrollment that's going to kick millions of Americans off of their affordable health insurance coverage. Dan Schaefer joins us right after this. You're up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The Wisconsin DNR has issued both an air quality alert and air quality advisory for western Wisconsin today. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Heavy surface smoke is moving into Wisconsin from the northwest. Air quality is unhealthy, and we could see spikes of very unhealthy as the front moves slowly from the northwest to southeast throughout the day. The DNR recommends going inside if you experience symptoms. The DNR advises everyone to keep outdoor activity shorter and less intense.
An air quality advisory goes into effect after the alert expires. The advisory will last until noon tomorrow. In La Crosse City Government, the Judiciary and Administration Committee will consider a pair of ordinances tonight that will allow the School District of La Crosse to move forward with its plans to expand State Road Elementary School and build a new elementary school at the Hogan Administrative Site. Those plans were approved by the City Plan Commission already. On Thursday, the Finance and Personnel Committee will consider a pair of fee increases proposed by the Stormwater Utility to cover the cost of capital projects and inflation. Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden made appearances in the La Crosse area this weekend and spoke about his support for the recently passed House bill that includes a federal budget. Van Orden said that the bill does not cut services such as Medicaid for anyone who is lawfully entitled to them. In his newsletter, Van Orden claimed the bill cuts $1.5 trillion in federal government waste, fraud, and abuse. The Congressional Budget Office said that between 8 and 14 million people would lose Medicaid coverage if the bill is signed into law. This week's state high school track and field championships will be held at UW La Crosse Friday and Saturday. The event, which has been held in La Crosse since 1990, draws an average of nearly 20,000 attendees over the two-day event. According to city officials, the event provides a nearly $4 million economic impact to La Crosse. Also, Highway 16 is under construction, so visitors to the state meet are advised to take alternate routes. You can find more information, including participants, directions, and more on the WIAA's website.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Clint Eastwood is tired of sequels, franchises, and remakes. Join the club, bruh. The four-time Oscar winner is a spry 95 years old and says he misses the days when writers would hole up in a bungalow on a studio lot and churn out movies like Casablanca. The 95-year-old star of In the Line of Fire and the director of Juror No. 2 says he plans on working for a long time. Eastwood says he'll work as long as he can still learn something or until he is truly senile. 95, a sense of humor, still making movies, and he can probably take you. Here's one of Pete's picks. If you like good old-fashioned manhunts, check out American Manhunt, The Search for Osama Bin Laden. At first, I had no desire to relive 9/11, but watching it with my kids was an experience. The American Manhunt series, not to be confused with Manhunt, The Search for America's Most Gorgeous Male Model, includes two other mini-docs, The Search for O.J. Simpson and the Boston Marathon Bombing. All the series can be watched good old-fashioned binge-style on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely today and some locally heavy rain possible. We could get a quarter inch or more by the time everything winds down this evening. High today, 74. Tonight, clearing 53. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch The Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, Jim Santel joins me. We go deep on the conservatives writing in opposition to Donald Trump's tariff terror.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Not that anybody's counting, but the Recombobulation Area is a now 19-time Milwaukee Press Club award-winning opinion column and online publication founded by longtime Milwaukee journalist Dan Schaefer, who is also the Civic Media political editor and who also now joins us, complete with Callahan Auto Parts t-shirt from Watching Tommy Boy. There you go, representing well. Mr. Schaefer, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mr. Kreitlow. Always wonderful to join you here on the morning show.
Oh, yes, joining here on the morning. I thought you were talking about joining the club, the Derek Van Orden Insult Club. I'm pleased to be a member now.
I did want you to welcome you to this exclusive club that we are both now members of people who Derek Van Orden has told to kick rocks on the internet.
He loves that phrase, kick rocks.
That is a favorite of his. But, you know, when he told me to kick rocks last year when he was disagreeing with some of my columns about why we should stop having ridiculous constitutional amendments on the ballot every 2 seconds. He told me to kick rocks. And you know what I did with that? I had a special sale at the Recombobulation Area. You could go to the recombobulationarea.com/kickrocks and get 30% off a subscription. And a few dozen people joined up. So
thank you,
Derek Van Orden, for making me some money last year.
See, now that's the way that it's supposed to work. And look, I don't even know that we can do this. I was going to say from a serious journalistic standpoint, from two political reporters talking about this.
Sure.
But it should still be a serious topic that a member of Congress who posts 45 social media posts within a 24-hour period riddled with insults and attempts to dox people, like he tried to dox a UW Stevens Point instructor yesterday. We still should not try to normalize this, no matter who's in the White House.
It is a remarkably unhinged social media presence that Wisconsin's member of Congress from the 3rd District has. It's insults all the time. It's conspiracy theories all the time. And you know what? He is not exactly an accomplished legislator.
No.
At the end of the day, either. He is someone that has not really... He was posting on Twitter the other day, and I took note of this, and he said, oh, we have workhorses and we have show ponies. There was an article in the Bulwark from a few weeks ago from Bill Leaders who wrote that talked about how unaccomplished Van Orden is as a legislator. I'll quote here directly. Of the 32 bills and resolutions Van Orden sponsored in the 118th Congress from 2023 to 24, exactly none became law. And just 3 bills passed the GOP-controlled House before dying in the Senate. And a single Van Orden resolution received agreement in the House. It encourages all Americans to, quote, engage with veterans. That is the one thing that he is able to pass in Congress. So, you know, maybe a little bit less time, a little bit less tweeting. I guess I know I'm one to talk. But maybe a little bit less time tweeting and a little bit more time legislating.
You're not a member of Congress, although I would like to thank Alicia here, a Navy vet, from telling us on YouTube, kick rocks is actually a common phrase used by Navy chiefs. It actually goes, kick rocks in flip-flops, cool breeze. Now you know.
Now I know.
Now I know where he gets it from. So as we talk about some of the stories that you're following, and we're going to start in your corner of the state. Oh, wait a minute. I have to bring up Tony's comment quick. Wait, he hasn't finished the farm bill? No. Derek Van Orden has not finished the farm bill. There is no farm bill at this point.
Yeah, he's too busy lying about Medicaid.
Yes. So let's get to stories there. And today is allegedly the deadline for a Milwaukee area mom and teacher's aide who has a law-abiding record to self-deport. And I'm not quite sure how this woman came to the attention of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, but it sure does seem to be another case of, you know, we in the Trump administration are going to send away anybody we like, even if they have twin 9-year-old daughters who are U.S. citizens, even though we said we were just going after the criminals and terrorists. This case doesn't help their case at all.
No, this is a frustrating story. This has gotten a bit of attention here in the Milwaukee area, where you have this teacher's aide, and apologies if I butcher the pronunciation, Yesenia Ruano, Milwaukee's teacher's aide, her case has kind of become this public thing around here with a number of immigration rights advocates, hoping and taking efforts and action to try and get her to be able to stay in the country. But it turns out such is not going to be the case, and she is going to have to be deported to her home country of El Salvador. There was some legal issues with that this spring, where for a minute there she had some legal representation. It looked like it was going to be able to bank her stay, and then and now that is not the case. And it is clear that, you know, just this, as so many other examples of what, you know, Donald Trump and Stephen Miller and the rest of the Trump administration here, what their goals are with this mass deportation effort is not a crime fighting public safety type of initiative. It's one that is, you know, go back to the refrain from Trump's first term: the cruelty is the point.
Yeah,
and that's what we're seeing here with this case.
It sure well and. Like. And I would put even stronger language on it, that it is race-based, a race-based policy that they're engaged in by and large, and that it doesn't matter that she has been a pillar of the community, has lived here for 14 years, has a family, you know, daughters who are American citizens, that she left El Salvador as a survivor of domestic abuse, human trafficking, had a brother who was killed in gang violence and feared for her own safety in coming to this country. Now, in all of that, there's nothing there that indicates, well, she's a terrorist in waiting, you know. And yet, to hear her plight, the comments on social media have been downright ghoulish. People going, well, she's illegal, you know, what part of illegal don't you understand? It's like, again, this was supposed to be about getting the undocumented immigrants who are causing trouble, who may be gang members who have joined gangs here, things like that. If you supported somebody like that, but now you're cheering when a mother is being deported at this point, somebody who would like to finish the process of becoming a citizen, it is a very sad commentary on where we are for the humanity of this country, my own personal opinion.
Yeah, and this is somebody who's had a work visa. She works at a bilingual public elementary school in Milwaukee. These are the type of people that we want to have a path to citizenship.
Right.
And, you know, I had a couple immigration attorneys on a podcast at the Recombobulation Area a couple months ago who were telling me just about how difficult it is to just do things legally, and that has forced so many people to into this bottleneck where they're applying for asylum. You know, if she's receiving death threats in her home country, you know, a lot of these post-World War II, you know, never again type of measures that we've taken on the world stage to be welcoming to refugees and fleeing circumstances where they're fearing for their own, where people are fearing for their own lives, that's what that policy is there for. And you think you would think that, you know, could expedite the process for these people, but such is not the case. And it's like what you said. It is this is not about public safety. This is not about anything like that. There are racial tones to this, not undertones, overtones, lots of tones.
Yep.
It is a remarkably it's a sad story.
Again, to get to your point about fixing this immigration process and streamlining the process, this country has perhaps rarely in its history needed legal immigration encouraged more than now, with, you know, the baby boomers stepping off the stage, with a labor shortage that is already pronounced. This is a country that, if we want our economy to thrive, had better be more welcoming than ever to immigrants. And yet there was a deal on the table, a bipartisan deal on the table And Donald Trump by himself said, screw that, scuttle that. We want to deport whatever people that we want. And that's how we end up with stories like this one out of Milwaukee. But we also end up with a story, a very unusual one, that deals with somebody who apparently, if I'm reading this correctly, was the victim of a crime. And yet the person that was victimizing him set things up in such a way, allegedly, that it made it look like he was threatening President Trump's life. And last I can see here, this gentleman, Ramon Morales Reyes, is still sitting in the Dodge County Jail. This is insane.
It's a wild story. And I think it is, you know, the fact that the Department of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, put this out as a press release from the main, you know, Department of Homeland Security press room and all of that, you know, saying that there is this suspect believed to be responsible for writing a letter threatening to shoot President Trump, and it was all a hoax. Well, you know what? They I can't help but think that that paperwork errors like this are being used to deport people all over the country.
Oh, of course.
And if Department of Homeland Security is using paperwork errors and things like that to do that, and yet they are making very obvious ones, it seems, in this case by, you know, amplifying it to the national stage, and less than a week later finding out that this was entirely a hoax, that there was this you know, other man in prison setting up this person, and it's seemingly a really obvious way that they couldn't poke holes in this. And it's just, I think it to me, the story here is that Department of Homeland Security are deporting people for the same types of problems that they themselves are committing with paperwork errors.
And doing so, again, despite paperwork errors, using masked secret police, using detention facilities that are off limits even to members of Congress. Congressman Mark Pocan, Congresswoman Gwen Moore tried to visit inmates at this Dodge County facility and were told that they could not. And when they called a phone number that's associated with it for either ICE or another agency, that phone had been disconnected. And so there was no way for anybody to have oversight and make sure essentially that innocent people aren't behind bars in this country. And that's where we are at this point. Again, it's got all of the elements of fascism with the secret police, wearing masks, people in detention that you can't reach, trumped up charges, deporting people out of the country. I don't know what else people need to know to see what kind of country we've become. Oh, wait, I do have one more, and it deals with trains, of all things. And the fact that there's a story out there that about how there are companies that would rather work with pretty much any other country other than ours when it comes to high-speed rail, because we are so dysfunctional. This was a story I saw on the Civic Media website.
Yeah, it is. It really goes to show how broken our politics is when you see these international companies that would, you know, like to build something and make some money in the United States and build a rail service here, and finding that not only was it so difficult to do it here, it was actually easier to build a rail service in northern Africa, in Morocco, I believe the country was.
It was.
Built a rail service in Morocco. So they found that northern Africa to be less politically dysfunctional than the United States of America in the Trump term. It's wild.
This was from SNCF, which is the French National Railroad, a bullet train operator, and they pulled out of projects here in the States. And again, the quote in the news story is, they told the state they were leaving for North Africa, which was less politically dysfunctional. And that's, I mean, we use the term third world a lot, perhaps sometimes not as politically correct as we should, but in terms of undeveloped and undemocratic with a small D nation, that is exactly the kind of thing that we're dealing with here, as Dan Schaefer tells us about from the recombobulation area. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant. 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
What a great Wednesday lineup we have for you every Wednesday, including Earl Ingram tomorrow. Melissa Baldoff will be here with our climate check. Melissa Kay from WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. Todd Alba stops by. James Kelly from the Civic Media Newsroom here in the Chippewa Valley. Another Sconny Summer Text to Win keyword, our homeroom segment on public education in Wisconsin. And that's all just for starters tomorrow morning here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on the Civic Media Radio Network. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area joins us again, and we talked earlier about Derek Van Orden being an internet troll. Thank goodness you can remind us about the more positive side of trolls in Wisconsin, the old school definition of trolls, if you will. There's a photo circulating of you with a rather large troll. What is that?
That's right. So I went to visit a troll last night, and that doesn't mean paying a visit to Derek Van Orden or paying a visit to anybody else in my Twitter mentions, but it means that in Wauwatosa, of all places, there is a large troll sculpture that was just unveiled about a week or two ago at Firefly Grove Park in kind of the west side of Wauwatosa, and it is this... it is actually very, very cool to see in person. So it's this troll made by a Danish artist named Thomas Dambo, who uses recycled materials to make these trolls. And he has made 156 trolls all over the world, including 40 in the United States. He's trying to do one in all 50 states, I believe. And it just so happens that the one he built in the state of Wisconsin is right in my neck of the woods, right next door, one city over in Wauwatosa. So I went to go check it out with the family last night, took a picture of a large troll and this sculpture from a artist.
This is,
see what I did there.
How tall is this troll? It looks massive.
It is huge. It's like 40 feet tall. It's pretty wild.
Seriously, is amazing. And all with recycled material, you say?
All with recycled material. And he's holding these lampposts.
Yeah.
Like they're a bouquet of flowers. And then throughout the park, there are these kind of like, you know, it's almost like a Disney-fied type of thing where it's just like, it looks like the troll ripped the lampposts off of like the edge of the sidewalk or whatever. So there are these like snarled bottom parts of lampposts that, you know, coincide with the ones that he's holding. It's very creative and it's very cool. And I would encourage people to take some time to go see it in Wauwatosa this summer. It's something else. You're not going to see anything else like it. I would really like, I've seen the pictures and all that going around, but going and seeing in person and just like standing there and I'm about, you know, up to this troll's knee or whatever.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
It is. Wow. That's an impressive picture here. Also on your social media feed, you point out that you sat down with the soon to be former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Ben Wickler, talking about Elon Musk, the spring election, being the chair and a lot more. What would folks get out of that were they to click and watch you and Chairman Ben Wickler?
Yeah, we had a great interview a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I interviewed him the day after he had made an endorsement in the West Ems chair race. Like, I know regular listeners of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow have gotten to hear from all of those candidates running for West Ems chair. And Ben Wickler endorsed Devin Remicker. He initially said he was going to stay neutral in the race and he decided against it. So we talked a little bit about that over the course of the conversation, talked a little bit about, you know, his run for DNC chair. So it was a really good big picture conversation on so much that has happened and so much that he has been involved with over the past few months and on a national scale, on a local scale and all of that, everything in between. And a lot of Elon talk too.
How would you evaluate his answer to the question about endorsing Devin Remicker? Obviously, the William Garcia and Joe Zepecki were, I would say, caught off guard by that when Wickler said he was not going to endorse. Now, Joe Zepecki has since said he sees that endorsement as a sign of his, Joe Zepecki's, strength, that Ben Wickler felt the need to get involved. What was your own impression of how Ben Wickler addressed that issue?
Yeah, he really just said that he changed his mind and he kind of wanted to just be on the record. And he's like, it's an election. We all have our say. And this is what I wanted to say. So he didn't want to let the moment pass without saying what he really thought about, you know, the next steps for the party. But I think you're right. I think it's not just Mr. Zepecki and Mr. Garcia who were a little bit irked by that surprise endorsement from Ben Wickler. I've heard from a number of folks that were, you know, even people who are very big fans of Ben Wickler, supporters of his, allies of his, they weren't exactly thrilled by Wickler putting his thumb on the scale.
No,
this one.
And again, I cast no aspersions on any of these. All three are great candidates, so I don't want anybody to take this the wrong way. But I know from experience, perhaps the biggest cuss word in internal Democratic Party business is the A word, anointed. And if anybody comes off as being the anointed one for any position, because I was tagged with that for running, you know, after Dave Obie endorsed me, and I've seen it in so many other races that, you know, it helps you in some ways. It hurts you in some ways with some people as well. So it's far from a slam dunk. Oh, you see what I did there? Slam dunk. We're going to move to basketball here.
Radio professional here.
I know. He's old that way. We were talking to Christina Laurie earlier about how some Wisconsin athletes play for some other teams, not within our borders, and we try to follow them. But for some folks, that's a little tougher with Tyrese Halliburton and the Indiana Pacers, because here's this Oshkosh kid, done good, but he's also kind of put on the black cowboy hat. He's kind of being the bad boy this time around.
Yeah, he knocked the Bucks out 2 years in a row, so we don't love that. And he's also just kind of he's been a little bit of an irritating personality at times in the NBA playoffs. He's a big talker. He has a lot to say. But I, you know, it's pretty wild that a guy from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, home to my alma mater of UW-Oshkosh, has led his team to the NBA finals. Like, we've had a lot of great players in the NBA come from Wisconsin. Nick Van Exel, Caron Butler, Latrell Sprewell, go through the list. But I think Tyrese Haliburton might end up on the top of that list in like the all-time Wisconsin native NBA players, which wow. is pretty wild. And I think it's gonna take a bit for some folks to stomach, I think, too.
Tony, a little irritating. That's an understatement. We will leave it at there. And I won't ask you the Brewers' magic number, but we're getting closer to when we have to ask about that. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, thank you so much. Thanks to all of you for being with us as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. Have a wonderful Tuesday. We'll see you at 6 a.m. tomorrow here up north.
Soaring high above lacrosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX Lacrosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. Another deadly shooting at an aid distribution site in Gaza. At least 27 people were killed and more than 100 wounded as desperate crowds waited for food. The Israeli Defense Force admitting they did open fire, but because they say people were advancing towards the troops in a threatening way. In Boulder, Colorado, two people are still in critical condition following the weekend firebombing of a pro-Israel group. ABC's Mola Lenghi in Boulder with more on the 45-year-old suspect, Mohammed Solomon.
He was born in Egypt and lived in Kuwait for 17 years before moving to Colorado Springs 3 years ago with his wife and five kids. According to authorities, he confessed he had been planning the attack for a year and was waiting until after his daughter graduated. Now, the FBI processing evidence seized from his home.
Lawmakers in the Senate now have the sweeping budget and tax bill that passed by a single vote in the House. Many Republicans say they're concerned about how much it could add to the federal deficit. This is ABC News.